There's an obvious level where we can see the problems with dependent practice, particularly with the practice of generosity. I remember once in India, in the very early days of our movement there in the late 70s, we were in a particular city and with Banti. Banti was on his kind of return to India, doing these fantastic lectures. But unfortunately, because he'd had such a heavy schedule, he'd just travelled from New Zealand, where he'd been very active, and he was very active in India. Unfortunately, he got a very, very high fever. He got very ill, and he couldn't leave his sick bed. And we'd been invited for a meal by an old kind of devotee of Banti's, and Banti said, "Well, I can't go. You'll have to go and give my apologies, and I can't do it. I can't leave my bed." And he was very, very weak, and he was disappointed he couldn't go. He didn't want to let down his old devotee. And we turned up, Lokamitra and myself and others, and our host was furious. He started to lay into Lokamitra and say, "Bring him here. Bring Sangharakshita here immediately. I demand it." And it was quite obvious that his generous activity, his generosity at giving food, was highly dependent on having Sangharakshita there. In a way, he wasn't really bothered about Sangharakshita. He wasn't really bothered about his health and well-being. Presumably, he wanted him there for status, to make merit, that kind of thing. So it was entirely dependent generosity, dependent on particular conditions, dependent on a particular response. He wasn't really bothered if Sangharakshita got even iller if he came to that meal. So this is the problems with dependent practice, dependent generosity. You see it in relationships, don't you, where apparently, you know, within this wonderful love affair you have this selfless mutual generosity, but when one of the parties decides to leave or do something different, suddenly the selfless generosity is not happening. And there's acrimony and so on, and people want things back that they've given so freely and so fully. This is supported, dependent generosity. Or, the more topical example perhaps, you're involved in the ordination process. You've asked for ordinations and so on, and you give yourself very fully to the ordination process and to the work of the Dharma and all the rest of it. And then you don't get ordained when you wanted to, when you expected to, and, well, that apparently selfless generosity starts to break down. It's highly dependent on a particular result. I'm sure you can think of examples in your own experience here. Another one, you know, from the other side, as it were. There you are, an order member. You've been an order member a long time. You're working away at your centre or in your community, and some really bright people are coming on, and you think, great, they're going to get ordained, this is going to be wonderful. And then they say, "I don't want this anymore. You know, you're not up to the mark. I want to go with somebody else. I'm going to another teacher." And suddenly you feel, you know, you know, and all that kind of selfless, generous giving of the Dharma and your time and energy. Well, it's shown up for what it is, that you were dependent on a particular result. This guy, you know, being with you in your community so it runs well and all the rest of it. I'm sure there's lots of examples here. So generosity that is supported, that is dependent, that is defined by signs and circumstances, is limited. It will run out. It will end when conditions and signs and circumstances change. Practice of all the paramitas that is supported by things, whether of sense objects or limited notions, they will run out. Our practice, conditioned practice, runs out when the conditions change. That's what I'm trying to say.